2019. What a year. What a year it has been. As I look back over the year, a lot of great things happened this year. A lot of things. I've been talking with my wife. A lot of things I'd just soon forget. Move on to 2020, right? But I think that happens every year. I think that happens every year. So in a couple days, a few days, we get that chance. Move on to a new year. I've called this message 2020 Vision. How many of you wish you had 2020 Vision? So do I, and I do with these. Sometime back, we looked at some things that are foundational for our church, and we're going to revisit some of those things today as we move into 2020. Just as a reminder, and I think we need to do this periodically to kind of keep us on track of who we are, where we're headed, what we're called to do, what we're called to be. And I think as we look into a new year, I think it's a good time to look at this, not only to see if we're on track and where we're headed, but really I think it's a good time for us to look at these things because I think as Hal talked about New Year's resolutions, I think it's a good time for us to sit down and look at some of these things and kind of look introspectively at ourselves and say, where am I on the spectrum of these things? Am I as committed here and here and here as I need to be? And if not, maybe this is a good time to move toward that direction. So with that in mind, I want us to look at our passages today. These are what I would consider foundational passages to the church, not just Dolan Baptist Church, but to the church at large. Matthew chapter 22, and then we're going to look at also chapter 28. But in Matthew chapter 2, verses 36 through 40, Jesus is being questioned, and he's asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments." When Jesus is talking about all the prophets and all the law, he's talking about the entirety of the Old Testament. The prophets, the law of Moses, all the prophets, all of it hangs upon these two things. It all can be summed up in this. Love the Lord your God with everything that's within you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Matter of fact, if you took all the Ten Commandments, it's all summed up in there. Where the first two commandments are talking about our relationship with God, the rest of them are talking about our relationship with man. Love the Lord your God with all you have within you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Kind of our logo, motto of the church is love up and love out. Love God and love each other. And that's paramount. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 20 is kind of a partner verse to these, partner passage. And it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." These two passages give us our marching orders as the church. If you could put up that slide one, Alex, if you would for me. This kind of sums it up, these two passages. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. To love the Lord with all you have within you is to worship, because that will come out. When you love God, you tell Him so. And how do we do that? Through worship, through our prayer time, through our expression of how we love Him to Him. That's called worship. We worship Him. We tell Him how much we love Him. We show Him in how we worship Him. That comes out in worship. And then to love our neighbor as ourself, that's called ministry. How do we love on one another? In times of sickness and death. Let me tell you, this church, this local body here does a great job of that. I know that when Rebecca came home, when I brought her home from her surgery, we were overrun with food and cards and calls and offers of help and for anything. And I know that we're not the only ones that receive that kind of help and offers of help. This church does a good job of loving on one another. That's ministry. But see, it also goes beyond these walls, too. It's not just us, because that becomes a club. Ministry reaches out beyond the walls. Ministry. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then in that second passage, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. That's evangelism. Reaching the lost. It doesn't say stay and make disciples. That's easy. We just stay and say, if they're lost, come to us. We'll teach you. It's not what he said. He said, go. Go. That's what we're called to do too. Go. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's discipleship. You see, it's not enough just to go and evangelize the lost. Teach them about Jesus and they make a decision for Christ. Well, then there's a whole lot of other stuff that goes along with that. They need to be discipled. They need to be taught. They need to be taught how to study the Word of God for themselves. They need to be discipled. And discipleship is a process. It's you're taking a baby and teaching them how to feed, teaching them how to walk, teaching them how to dress themselves. They don't just learn that stuff. They need to be taught how to do those things. That's what discipleship is. And these are what the church is called to do. That's what we're called to do. We looked at these things and kind of what they mean, what worship is, what ministry is, what evangelism is, what discipleship is. Could you put up that second slide? And this may be really small for you to read. It's not bad. We exist to encounter God's presence. And that's through worship. How many of you felt like you may have encountered some of God's presence today through worship? Is it not good to encounter the presence of God? Did you receive anything when you encountered God's presence? Is it not good to encounter God's presence? It's good to encounter God's presence. God wants you to encounter His presence. I'm going to skip this one for a second. Encourage is God's ministry. We encourage others through ministry. We encourage them and we are encouraged ourselves when we minister, right? Evangelism. Evangelism is not just done, it's expressed. Not only is it physically done, but it also has to be spoken. It has to be expressed. The old word of lifestyle evangelism. If they just see how you live, they'll catch on. That's only a part of it. That has to accompany, okay? Because if you don't walk with your talk, if your talk and your walk don't match up, doesn't matter what you say, okay? So it does have to be lived out, but it also has to be spoken. They have to know the reason. And it has to be spoken. It has to be expressed. Discipleship is equipping. It's given the tools, given the know-how. The discipleship, the walking one-on-one with somebody or a small group setting. You know, that's our Bible study classes, Sunday school classes. Small group studies, what our women have done in small group women's studies. Things like that. The girls' Bible studies that have been going on. The boys' Bible studies that have been going on. That's that discipleship time. Those are important because you get a little deeper. I would consider kind of what we do on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights really kind of part of that too. But those are important because it's given more tools. It's not just lecture. It's asking questions, dialogue back and forth. It's more it's more walking through some things. That's important. People need to know that. It's giving them tools to understand and how. Not just what you believe, but why you believe what you believe. So that you can express that to somebody else. Not just so that you can regurgitate information on a test. You know, if we have teachers in the house, you don't want students to just be able to put information down on a test. You really want them to grasp the concept, don't you? Yes, and that's what we're talking about. We want to help people grasp the concept. Because when you grasp the concept, you can figure out the problem, no matter what the problem is, right? If we can help people grasp the whole concept, you see, then they begin to walk and talk by themselves. I want to go back up to number 2. This is so important. Engage. Membership. We hit on this some time ago. Membership is important. One, because there's some accountability involved in membership. Another thing is too. Is I think I made the illustrated it this way. If you're on a team, say a softball team, basketball team, football team, there's a roster. Why do they have a roster? They need to know who's on the team. They need to know who they have available. They need to know who's in it, right? And I think that's the same reason why you have a church membership. They need to know who's in it. It's important. The other thing is there's accountability in that. If you commit to belong to something, there's a greater chance that you are committed to that next level. And what we're going to talk about today is really commitment. Okay, I'm going to move there in just a second. This last slide that I'm going to have Alex put up here for you basically states where we are. Our purpose is just what I had up there: to encounter, to engage, to encourage, to equip and express our relationship to Christ. That's our purpose. To be able to really show people that we have a relationship with Christ. And again, that's through things like worship, through ministry, through discipleship, through evangelism. Our mission is we're called to be disciples who make disciples. To multiply. Be disciples who make disciples. Here's the deal. It doesn't mean we are disciples for our Sunday school teachers to make more disciples. You see, you and I can personally disciple someone. And there is so much power and intimacy when you personally disciple someone. I'm going to be issuing challenges here in just a few moments, so get ready. Get ready. The vision. We desire to share the love of God with the people of our community in such a way that they will have the greatest opportunity to become fully devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's the part we're still trying to figure out. The problem with community is there is no community around where we are. We're a conglomeration of different communities. And really, we're out here in the woods, and there is no real sense of community. But there are people everywhere. Okay? And there are people everywhere who need Jesus. So we've got to get creative. We've got to get creative. We've got to do some things we've never done before. We've got to figure out something that shows these people around here that we're not just closed-doored and you got to come here. We got to figure out some way to show them physically, visibly, and genuinely that we love them. And we would love to share with them the story of Jesus Christ and that He loves them too. Okay? Putting shoes on their feet helps. Giving them food out of the food pantry helps. All these things help. Okay? But we got to figure out the big something that really touches them, that really speaks to them. Been racking my brain. Some other folks have been racking their brains. We've not hit upon it yet, so we've got to figure it out. Okay. But that's our mission. That's our vision. That's our purpose. Would anybody argue with any of that? I believe that's what God's put us here for. He put us here over 100 years ago. We're still here. There's still people that need to be reached. So here are my challenges to you. And I'm keeping this short and sweet today. Here are my challenges to you. Wherever you are on the spectrum of those things of ministry, evangelism, discipleship, membership, wherever you are, as we move into 2020, are you satisfied with where you are? Maybe the better question is God satisfied with where you are in those categories, in those aspects? And are you willing to step up your game? And that's my challenge to you. Are you willing to become more ministry-minded? Are you willing to become more engaged in the body of Christ this next year? Are you willing to become more involved in your own discipleship so that you can then disciple others? And if you have been involved in discipleship, are you willing to step out and begin that process of discipling others? We can't just stay where we are. They call it a walk for a reason. The Christian walk is called a Christian walk for a reason. It's not called a Christian stay put. Isn't that the truth? It's called a Christian walk for a reason. We've got a step. It's time for us to step on up. Each and every one of us, no matter where we are, it's time for us to step up. Keep stepping out. So no matter where we are, God's calling us to take a step. So I think what I'm asking, I think what God is asking each and every one of us, and me, your pastor included, just take a look at ourselves. Where are we lacking individually? Where are we lacking in those things? Where is God calling us, telling us we need to improve, get better at? Where is He telling us we are ready to step out and begin leading in some areas? If we've been discipled for a long time, maybe it's time for us to begin discipling. If we've been coming and maybe it's time for us to engage in membership. Maybe it's time for us to pick up a ministry and begin ministering. We can't stay where we are. Because here's the deal, folks. Before this church as a whole can move, the individual people who make up this church have to decide to move. The church can't move without the people inside moving. It's a living organism made up of you and I. If you and I don't move, the church doesn't move. And God's called us to go. Move. Move. Be active. Go, therefore. Make disciples. It's time to go. It's time to move. It's time to get active. It's time to get involved. It's time to step up our game. That's the challenge for each and every one of us today. Are we willing to take that step? Are we willing to step it up a notch? Are we willing to test the waters and step in to the game? That's a question only you can answer. It's a question only you can answer. But as we head into this next year, folks, if our church is going to be effective, if this church, Dolan Baptist Church, is going to be effective, if it's going to be moving and shaking, it's got to be because the people in this church are willing to be movers and shakers. And that's you and I. That's you and I. If it is to be, it's up to us with the help of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. He is willing. He is willing. Are we willing? Father, help us to be willing. Father, help us to choose today to be movers and shakers. Help us accept the challenge and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, help us to say, I don't want our church to be stagnant. Help us to say, Lord, I've been discipled and discipled, and Lord, I think it's time for me to begin discipling. Lord, help us to say, I've been wondering why there is not this ministry for too long. And Lord, if I've been wondering why it doesn't exist, maybe it's time for me to talk about maybe leading that ministry. Maybe that's why you put it on my heart. Lord, we don't want to be a stagnant church. Lord, we don't want to be inward focused and just looking at ourselves. Lord, help us to have a vision that looks outside these walls. Lord, you've called the church to go. Lord, help us to go. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us supernatural wisdom, Lord, to give us a strategy to reach the people around this church. Lord, you would not have planted this church here if you didn't have a purpose for it and an idea for how to reach these people. Lord, I pray that you would reveal that. Lord, I would love nothing better than to have a real idea of how to reach them. I would do it. I believe there are other people who would join me. Lord, help us to accept your challenges today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand.